Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM, and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we're pleased to be joined by Joan Nichols, Executive Director of the Connecticut Farm Bureau Association. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Aaron, and thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Though we have had some rain recently, it hasn't made up for the drought conditions that have been making things difficult for many Connecticut farmers. Let's start with asking you how the state's agriculture industry is faring with the rain deficit.
The rain deficit was certainly a major concern for all of our growers, especially as the drought conditions continued through the growing season and into the fall. I did reach out to a number of our growers in the orchards and vineyards and some of our vegetable producers and of course, our dairy farmers and grain growers. What I heard from many of the farmers is that it was a real challenge. They had to spend a lot of time on irrigation this year, a lot of time getting water to their livestock. Some of the larger dairy farms had to truck water into the farm so there's enough water for the cows and the livestock. It's our understanding that the biggest losses were in the larger grain farms, those farms that are growing silage, grains, large fields with corn. Some of the sweet corn took a little bit of a hit this year, especially on those soil conditions that are droughty or on the larger fields where they didn't have irrigation in place. Those farms that the orchards and the vegetable growers, the berry growers, those farms just spent a lot of time making sure that they had adequate water supply to those crops. But some of the larger fields, I heard from one of the dairy farmers that they had about a 40% loss on some of their feed corn. So that's a really hard hit when the dairy industry has had some challenges this year due to the trade wars and COVID and everything else that's hit them. You're absolutely right. This was just another double whammy. Of course, when you're in farming, you're always watching the weather, and that's always a challenge. It could be your best or worst enemy.
It's good to hear that a number of farmers were able to save their crops, but I suspect that has taken resources and time away from other things they should have been doing.
Absolutely. I spoke to one of their orchards, and they were concerned one of their irrigation ponds was running low on water, so there was a need to get that recharged. And absolutely, every time that you're spending more time on irrigation, it's you know, it takes away from other things you have to do on the farm, but at the same token, you have to irrigate your crops so you don't have the losses. And honestly, the farms really want to make their profit on a saleable product and not on, you know, the insurance or the disaster relief, although they deeply appreciate it. But they really want to have profitability on the product that they've put all that money and sweat equity into growing. So that's why it's such a heartbreaker when you get crop losses due to drought or weather events like this.
This past week, we did get word that federal authorities have approved a disaster declaration for all 8 counties in Connecticut related to the drought. What sort of help does that pave the way for farmers?
That allows through their local farm service agency to apply for the federal relief program to offset some of these losses. So we encourage any of the farmers that have experienced losses, the grain farmers, the dairy farmers, really any farmer that has experienced losses to go into their local FSA, Farm Service Agency office, which is an arm of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and file the appropriate paperwork so that they can apply for the federal assistance. We deeply appreciate everything that's been done for our farmers this past year to help with the variety of assistance that's come their way. So much of this, what's happened this past year, including this most recent weather event, is so totally out of their control, no matter how hard they work. And we really appreciate the assistance that's come their way. And we urge all farmers that are eligible or have had the losses to go to Farm Service Agency and put their applications in.
As you were listing all the crops and commodities grown in Connecticut, it's quite a wide range. I mean, if you think agriculture in Connecticut, you probably think dairy, you probably think some fruits and vegetables, but remind us how varied and diversified it is. It can be everything from wine to shellfish.
Oh, absolutely. And when we host farm bureaus from other parts of the country, which we often do, or even from other parts of our region, the Northeast, and they come to Connecticut, first of all, they don't often think of Connecticut as an agricultural state. But once they get here and they see the breadth of diversity that we have here, it just amazes them. So we have our shellfish industry, which our largest farms in Connecticut are actually under Long Island Sound, which are our lease beds for our shellfishermen. So we have a robust shellfish industry. We have fruits, vegetables, wineries, Christmas trees, all of our livestock operations, which include sheep, equine, hogs, goats, llamas, alpacas. We have the third largest egg producer in the United States, which is in my part of the state in East Connecticut. Hillendale Farms is the third largest egg producer in the country. And so we have a very robust poultry industry, which many people are not aware of. We have a robust forest products industry. People forget about all of the forest products that come out of the state of Connecticut, not only maple syrup, but also lumber and bark mulch and all kinds of other forest products. And then, of course, we have our dairy industry, which is critically important. We have tobacco, and that's really interesting to a lot of people that come to Connecticut. I think aquaculture really amazes them, and then the tobacco industry that we support due to our prime soils in the Upper River Valley.
And it seems hemp seems to be among the newer crops in Connecticut.
That's correct. And really a call out to the Connecticut Department of Agriculture for working so hard on getting the hemp legislation passed. So that is a new crop in Connecticut. They launched the pilot program a year or so ago, and now the governor just signed a more recent bill that now aligns our regulations with federal regs to allow the continued propagation of hemp. We think that's going to be an up-and-coming crop in Connecticut. There are many growers that have applied for the license through the Department of Agriculture. It remains to be seen, but we'll need the market for it, both on the oils and on the processing end of it, and also on the fiber part of it. So right now, I think the one thing that's lacking to really get a robust hemp industry is the processing end of it. But we like to say, if you build it, they will come. So it won't be long before somebody figures out that whether it's the fiber part of hemp or the oil part of it, that there's a profitability and a business to be built around that. So we really need the processing. And that's very similar to when more and more farms started to grow hops. And at one point, that was sort of a new industry in Connecticut because there's an increase in the microbreweries, which is really neat. And more microbreweries want to source their product locally. But we didn't necessarily have the processing facilities for hops and grains. And now we have a pelletizer down at DeFrancesco's farm. They put in a pelletizer. So that helps pelletize hops for our microbrewery industry. And then Thrall's, which is a tobacco farm, put in a malting facility for grains. So our farmers in Connecticut are incredibly astute, really good businessmen, and also look at ways to continue to profit from agricultural endeavors, including providing processing opportunities for other growers. So we really have a wonderful network in Connecticut of producers that work together also.
How have farmers fared in Connecticut in the pandemic? I know it was really rough early on.
It was very, very rough early on. And of course, I mean, everyone was impacted by COVID. Back in March and April, the real big concern back then, of course, was all of agriculture, just what was going to happen. It was that sort of fear of the unknown. And I think we could have said that for just about every business sector in the state and even the United States. You know, I'm sure the restaurants and every business was thinking the same thing. Earlier on, our nursery and greenhouse industry, which is the largest sector, one of the largest sectors of agriculture in Connecticut, they were very concerned. They had lost their Easter sales. They weren't sure with things slowing down and everything shutting down, whether they were going to have the customer base with that. It turned out what happened with the greenhouse industry is that they lost their Easter sales, and they did lose some production because their help didn't show up because of health concerns. But then, because so many people ended up working from home or being, you know, restricted to home, the rest of their season just completely rebounded, and people were buying all kinds of nursery stock and plantings because, thanks to the governor, they kept the nursery and retail operations open. So people were able to go to your local nursery or local garden supply. And ended up having a really good year once they got through the Easter season with those losses. One of our growers said to us, one of our nurserymen said that tomato plants became the new toilet paper. It was pretty funny. Like, you couldn't find starter vegetable plants anywhere. Everything was in demand. So that was good. The dairy industry really suffered because they were still trying to rebound from the trade wars, international trade wars that had impacted them. And then with the schools shutting down and the institutions and the restaurants, the dairy industry really, really, really took a hard hit this spring. And the thank you to our federal delegation for all of the assistance that came through, which really helped on the payroll protection and the EIDL loans, and then many of the coronavirus food assistance programs. That all really helped the dairy industry. What we hear from dairymen is still the unknown. They don't know what's going to happen, you know, come this season. So, they're always worried about how milk pricing and demand is going to be impacted. But the federal assistance that came through helped them. The other industry that really got hard hit was our aquaculture industry. Our oysters primarily go into restaurants and the catering industry. And when the restaurants shut down, while they didn't lose their crop is, you know, living in Long Island Sound, they lost the market. And that industry has really been hard hit because of a downturn in the restaurant and catering industry. On the bright side, those farms that do direct consumer retail, while they had to reconfigure how to market their products and their farm stores and farm stands, just like all of our other retail establishments, there was a tremendous demand from consumers that wanted to go to their local farmers market and pick up, you know, fruits, vegetables, dairy products, berries, whatever was coming into season. And it's we've heard from many of our farmers that while it was a challenge to reconfigure everything and bring extra help in to maybe do curbside pickups or online orders and change the way they've done business, they really had a really good year. And again, reaching out to Connecticut residents, you know, it's great to see support for the local farms. They appreciated consumers coming to them, and they saw a really good year on the direct consumer marketing.
You're listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Joan Nichols. She is executive director of the Connecticut Farm Bureau Association. Agriculture, like so many other industries, had to figure it out on the fly during the pandemic. How many of these changes and new methods you think are going to stick around once things get back to normal?
I think some of it is going to stick around. Those farms that did online orders or took orders on in advance, I think that was a challenge for them, but that type of activity may stick around. One of our farmers, Oak Ridge Dairy in Ellington, had already launched what they call the Milkman, and he saw a tremendous demand for milk delivery and home dairy delivery. And we're hoping that continues, people getting, you know, farm products delivered directly from the dairy farm. Mountain Dairy also does home milk delivery, and they saw an increase in their business. So we're hoping that the dairy farms that do direct, you know, home deliveries will see that continue. Consumers seem to really like that. I think people have visited their farmers' local farm stands and appreciated the quality and the freshness of the product. And we're hoping we're optimistic that's gonna continue. So, you know, I think it's created a renewed appreciation for having local farms. Most importantly, having a local food supply. Nothing is more frightening than going into your local supermarket and starting to see the shelves empty. And while, you know, our farmers obviously aren't producing, you know, paper towels, it was good to know that you could go and, you know, at least get your fruits, vegetables, dairy products, cheeses, that type of thing. And I think more and more farms are getting into direct consumer retail, and they have to, you know, reconfigure things. And but I think it's brought a renewed interest, I'm hoping, to the quality of life for all consumers, as well as recognizing the value of how hard our farmers work to give them fresh food.
What can the average consumer do to help the local farmer in Connecticut? Is it giving them predictability, knowing that, you know, that market is still going to be in place for the next growing season by committing to a, you know, like a CSA share or something like that?
Yep, the CSA shares are great. Many farms offer CSA shares, and that's great because it gives the farmer some money in advance to get started in the growing season, and the consumer knows that they're going to have product available. So that's great. Sometimes what happens is in times like these, we sort of look close to home and we support our neighbors and we support our farmers. And then, you know, as time goes on, we all start to go back to sort of business as usual. And while we would all, I think many of us desperately want to get back to business as usual, we want to make sure that when you go back to business as usual, you don't forget your local farmer and the market and the farm that was there for you during times like this. So I think it's just, you know, continuing the support and continuing to support the farmers that were here for you when things were really, really tight. I think many of them just really did went above and beyond what they needed to do to get food out to their consumers.
Now, I know it depends on what they're growing, but generally speaking, as the growing season winds down and we head into the cold weather months, what are Connecticut farmers doing this time of year?
Well, some of our farms are, you know, while Halloween and Thanksgiving may look a little different this year, like everything's looked different, we do have those farms that are selling pumpkins and fall squash and fall vegetables for the upcoming, you know, Thanksgiving season. Thanks to technology in agriculture, we're having more and more farms put up high tunnels so they can extend the growing season into the cooler weather. So we now have farms that may still be able to provide you with greens that can withstand the colder temperatures if they're grown in a more controlled environment, like a greenhouse or a hydroponic facility or even a high tunnel. So there's some farms that are really doing well at extending the growing season. And then we can't forget about our Christmas tree farms, which will be, you know, ramping up for the Christmas season. And what our farms did find is that there was really an overwhelming demand for people that wanted to come out and just visit the farm and pick your own. I was just at a local orchard this past weekend picking up cider donuts. and the farm was really seeing a really steady stream of customers picking apples this time of year, which is apples are wonderful. Plus, it's just a really nice family activity. And the other thing we found, and even going back to the spring during the strawberry season, is the farms had to figure out how to get people onto the farm to enjoy the experience and pick product and still keep the people safe and distance. But because so many people were restricted at home, they really looked at the farms as a way to bring the family outside where it's safe, where it could be a nice family experience. So those farms that were opened up to pick your own operations, and just like now, the orchards are open up for pick your own and pick your own pumpkins. That's what they're doing right now. And from what I saw, they're having a really nice season because people want to be outside and it's a great experience.
How important is farmland preservation in Connecticut? I know the real estate market is actually quite hot in the pandemic. How important is it to preserve that land that farmers grow on for future generations of farmers and not turn it into, say, housing?
It's absolutely critically important. American Farmland Trust just released a report, Farms Under Threat, and you know we've lost 23,000 acres of farmland to a conversion to something else other than farming. So the Farmland Preservation Program, there are a number of programs in Connecticut. One is run by the Department of Agriculture. USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service provides funding for farmland preservation. And then there are land trusts, local land trusts, as well as Connecticut Farmland Trust, which is the premier nonprofit that focuses on farmland preservation. So there's many opportunities to conserve farmland in Connecticut for those farm families. It's critically important, especially in a state like Connecticut, where our land values are so high, for a farmer, or whether it be new and beginning farmer or a farmer that's looking to expand and needs additional land. Without the farmland preservation program, where a farm family can, first of all, fulfill their wishes of protecting the farm in perpetuity, once that is protected, it also makes the land more available for other farmers at a reduced rate because the family has already received money from the sale of the development rights. So first and foremost, it protects our working farm land base. There's the old adage, you can't make more of it. So it's critically important that we protect that land so it is available for food production and fiber production, and also makes that land available for other farmers that are getting into agriculture. It's very challenging. Land access is a big challenge for people getting into agriculture in Connecticut because of the price of land. So if they can purchase a farm that already has the development rights sold, it's not, certainly by no stretch of the imagination, cheap, but it's a little bit more affordable than purchasing land where they may be competing with a developer or somebody else that wants to use the land for a more intensive nature. So it's critically important. And you can see all the farmland we've already lost if you just ride up the 91 corridor between, up through the middle and northern part of the state, all that prime farmland we've lost to commercial and residential development, and you can't bring that back.
She is Joan Nichols, Executive Director of the Connecticut Farm Bureau Association. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Aaron. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thanks for thinking of Connecticut agriculture and our farmers. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.